Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Hello and welcome along to the GAA Postcast with me, David Jennings. Now, the Super 8 starts this weekend, but we've got the Super 3s for you on this postcast, as we've got Aidan Taggy Fogarty, who joins us in part one to preview all the hurling action this weekend. And we've also got Paddy Ahern from our sponsors, Paddy Power. And in part two, we'll be joined by Joe Sheridan to talk about the start of the Super 8s. Now, Aidan, we have to come to you here first. I'm just wondering, is Aidan Fogarty going to be at the bottom of all Brian Cody's team talks in future? Because when you took them on the first day in the against Galway, obviously they produced a hell of a performance and got a draw, and then you turned back and you said, you know what, this Kilkenny team are decent, and lo and behold, they get hammered by Galway. Maybe you're behind Kilkenny.
Yeah. thanks for bringing that up, David. Yeah, really appreciate it. Yeah, look, I wouldn't say they got hammered. They got a random solid team back to a point, to be fair to them. So I suppose that's, and I thought Kilkenny were actually going to kick on at that stage, but in fairness to Galway, they proved me wrong. I think over the years they would have wilted under that pressure that Kilkenny brought to them, but the likes of Joe Canning there and Cottle Mannion and David Buckland, these guys really picked up the mantle and kicked on. But in fairness to Kilkenny, they did bring it back. Like we were absolutely totally whitewashed in the first half, 6 and 7 shades and shadows, and we were God, we were playing Champagne hurling, and we really found it difficult to get the terms with it.
And at the moment, with Paddy Power, Galway are 10-11 favourites to lift the Liam McCarthy once again. Cork are 3-1, Clare 7-1, Limerick 15-2, Kilkenny 8-1, and Wexford 28-1. This 10-11 Galway, is it picking up money, Aidan?
Look, going on last Sunday, you have to say they're absolutely outstanding favourites for the All Ireland. You know, they have a serious panel, they have strength and conditioning, and I suppose from what they didn't have from other years is that they have a real belief to win games and finish games out now, and that comes from the success of winning All Ireland and the fact that they actually want to get back there and win another one and win as much as they can when they can. And they kind of remind me of a Kilkenny of old, I suppose, of the most of how rampant they were and how smooth and how cohesion their forwards were and how of the team they're playing together. You know, they really are. And I suppose the big thing is really the belief of winning their Ireland last year and getting them over the line. And I think, you know, they're odds on favourites for their Ireland. It won't be simple. They are going to come up against in a semi final or a final, a spell where they're going to be under pressure. But the fact that maybe Kilkenny put them to a point last week and they still kicked on and won by 6, you know, it's a very good sign.
So if I slip 50 quid into your wallet now, do you play it safe and you put the 50 quid on Galway at 10-11? I'm just going to do the maths here now. That's 45 quid. So to win 45 quid, or do you take a chance and back one of the other bigger prizes?
Well, I am a bit of a risk taker, so I would probably, you know, and the fact that I'm not a Galway person, I'd probably chance someone else maybe just for a bigger bet.
And do you want to tell us who that is?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that either. look, I suppose what's going to be interesting is the Cork versus Leinster styles. Are the Munster teams going to keep into the physicality and the intense pressure of the Leinster style of hurling, or will they be able to kick on in Croke Park, the likes of maybe a Cork or a Clare or whoever they're going to meet? Will it be able to take them on, pace wise and skill wise? So that's really what's going to kind of come down to. But, you know, Galway have it all, to be fair. If I was back with someone, perhaps Cork, you know, I didn't really believe too much of the hype early on in the year, but they really have to prove me wrong, and they haven't even lost the game yet, so they look in good shape.
Damien, I was going to call you. Paddy, if I was to give you 50 quid, who would you stick it on?
If I had 50 quid, I'd probably stick it in Cork, I would say. I think they're the only team left that really kind of have the game that might trouble Galway a small bit. Like if that ball that went into that kind of inside forward line, when the ball that went into Patrick Horgan in that Munster final, like if he gets the same kind of supply as he did against Clare, it's almost impossible to mark against, and he's so good at kind of taking on defenders and just getting space to score that I think that could give Galway a bit of trouble. There is a chance as well that if Wexford won this weekend, they might have a handier semi-final. So, like, that is a big ask for Wexford, in fairness, but that might kind of play into the fact that there might be a little bit of value if that happens. So I think if prices weren't involved, I think Galway would win the All-Ireland. At the prices, I'd probably have 50 quid in Cork, I would say.
Okay, so we have two Cork fans on the Racing Post postcast. So moving on to the first of the All-Ireland Hurling quarterfinals. It is Saturday. It's Páirc Uíochmhainn. It's Clare v Wexford. And Paddy Harran, can we get some prices on handicaps?
Yeah, the match price is Clare 2-5, the draw is 10-1, Wexford are 5-2. Clare -4, 11-10, the handicap draw is 12-1, and Wexford +4 is 5-6.
Now, Aidan Fogarty, listen up. Are you listening to me?
Listen up now, right?
And listen intently, and listeners, listen as well. Wexford are going to win this match. 5-2 is a huge price. Wexford are going to win this match. I am convinced of it. And hopefully, Aidan Fogarty, you're going to tell listeners exactly why Wexford are going to win this match.
Well, to be fair, Wexford have a really good shot. I think, you know, the way Wexford played, they play a similar style to Clare. I think the Davy Fitz factor is a factor, and I think he knows these players, which is a big asset for Wexford as well for this game on Saturday evening. Have they got the players to take on Clare? I have my suspicions that they don't. I think Clare myself are actually a better team. I think they have more intelligent and better hurlers than Wexford. But that's to say that if Wexford get on top, like they clean Kilkenny out of it in the first half, they were up by 9 points and then fell apart in the second half. And then Clare, obviously in the Munster final, blew Cork out 8 points up, and, you know, a 2-point defeat in the second half then and left them without the Munster title. So, you know, it's going to be close, but I think Clare are a better team. I think there's more... There's more on the line for Clare. It seems to be more on the line for Davy for Wexford, but more on the line for the actual Clare team on Saturday evening. And I think Shane O'Donnell, like maybe Podge Collins, and these lads, they have to fire yet. And with obviously John Connell in full forward, you know, it's a formidable full forward line. And I just think if Clare got their tails up, that they're too good for this Wexford team.
Okay, wrong answer, Aidan. Pat, I'm going to keep you calling you Damien for the whole show. Paddy.
Jesus, I've never had an insult like that in my life.
Paddy, Aidan gave the wrong answer there. I'm going to give you a second chance. Can you tell listeners exactly why Wexford are going to win this game?
I don't think Wexford are going to win this game, because I'd say if Wexford were like... If you're kind of using a horse race analogy, Wexford are a horse that just, they run to their mark every single time, and I don't think their mark is up at this level. They kind of proved last year in the game against Waterford as well, like they should have won that game against Kilkenny. I don't think the Leinster form, apart from Galway, is going to prove to be as good as the form that we've seen coming out of Munster. This whole kind of thing about, like, they're a hard-working team, they're a young team, and they have a certain degree of talent, but I think it's only going to bring them so far. I think that last year they were kind of keeping it very, very tight in the sense that they weren't conceding goals. I don't really see that this year. They didn't concede against Kilkenny, but they conceded one against Galway, they conceded two against Offaly, they conceded two against Dublin as well, which are quite bad goals to give away. I think that there's a good bit of kind of goal scoring talent in that Clare team as well. Like, if you can kind of isolate the likes of Peter Duggan inside, as Taggy kind of touched on, Shane O'Donnell, he's been kind of making space for other people, but like he seems to be kind of coming to the boil really. I think there is going to be a game where he's going to kind of take off. You'd hope so from a Clare point of view anyway. I think this could be that game, and I think that Clare, like, it all depends on how they react after that Munster, or after the Munster final loss. They lost the Munster final last year, and they came back and gave Tip a decent enough game in last year's quarter final. I think that they're going to be really, really disappointed and really annoyed with the way they played in that second half, especially against Cork. Like, there was a good chance they had the win of the game. They were the much better team in the first half, and then they just kind of drifted out of the game in the second half. I think they're going to kind of try and come back and prove a point. I don't think they're done with this championship yet, and I think they're just better than Wexford. I think they'll beat them.
Okay, two wrong answers from my pair of panellists. At least you mentioned it there, Paddy. I think the big thing that hasn't been factored into the prices here is just how deflated Clare are going to be. You have to remember, 2-11 to 9 points after 35 minutes they were up. That's an 8-point lead that they let slip against Cork. That's a huge lead to let slip. And there is still pride in the Munster Championship, and both teams went gung-ho trying to win that match. And they were completely outplayed, outbattled, outthought, outfought in that second half against Cork. I think they're coming into this game massively low in confidence. And it's the perfect game for Wexford. Davy Fitzgerald against his native county. Similar type of systems both teams play. And Wexford are complete. I think there's one big, as you say, I agree with you, they do run to their mark, but there is always one huge performance in Wexford every year, and I think this is going to be it. It's perfectly poised for a big Wexford performance. And they came back out after being annihilated by Galway and should have beaten Kilkenny. I know you'll say they didn't beat them, but they should have beaten Kilkenny. I think there's a bounce in this Wexford team. And while if you look at the 15 players individually, Clare might have a better 15, I think this game is made for Wexford. I think you'll see a big bounce in Wexford. 5-2, Wexford, get on now. But yous are the experts. So, Aidan Fogarty, tell us what's the best bet on the Wexford-Clare match coupon.
Yeah, well, I was looking at there and we're kind of saying that the Wexford play a sweeper system. So, I think goals, they're not coming too many goals. And Wexford haven't been scoring that many goals either. Now, Clare have been putting in one or two, but I think with maybe Sean Murphy standing in front of Conlon there and Liam Ryan marking actually Conlon as well, which is going to be a serious lineup there as well. I think there's not going to be too much going. So I'd say under 2.5 goals, 13-8 is a decent bet.
Okay, under 2.5 goals, 13-8. Lovely. We like that. Paddy, what's your best bet in the coupon?
I'm actually the complete opposite. I think that
can we not negotiate before the off, though?
I think that Wexford might get a little bit caught up in kind of watching Conlon, but Clare have a big threat apart from that. David Reid scored a goal the other day. Peter Duggan is a huge threat. Even Tony Kelly kind of arriving from deep as well. If he gets a chance, he's gonna go for it. I thought Clare to win and both teams to score a goal. That's gonna be probably odds against. I'm not sure if anyone up with it yet, but like if you can get odds against on that, I think it's definitely worth a bet.
Okay, so we have contrasting arguments for a Clare win from the two lads. And Aidan, your selections for man of the match and first goal scorer.
Yeah, well, my man of the match, I'm going to go for Peter Duggan. We mentioned him already. You know, the last day he only scored a point against Carlow, so I think he's really going to be in form for a big game. He'd be disappointed probably with only that point the last day. And so when you actually play a very good game as a player, it's very hard to the next week come out and play excellent. Like Aaron Gillan and save for Limerick scored 1-6, so I'm very happy to play excellently again. So I think Peter Duggan is in the shelf for man of the match. He's got the first goal scorer for Shane O'Donnell. I think this man, his work rate is very good. He's putting his body on the line. But his hurling has to come on a bit. And I think he's coming to that level where he's going to click eventually. So I think Shane O'Donnell for first goal.
Now, I know I probably shouldn't be saying this, but like, has Shane O'Donnell not been shite so far this year, no?
No, I don't think so. No, I think... like
he's almost too unselfish, isn't he?
He's too unselfish, exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, like, he's getting it onto the ball. He's looking up first and he's looking for the perfect hand pass for a point. Instead of what he'd done maybe in 2013 or 2014, put the head down and go straight for goal.
Yeah, play off the cuff. He should play off the cuff more often.
Absolutely, yeah, and he probably not, and that's what I'm waiting for. But his work rate has been phenomenal. He's getting hooks and flicks, and he's getting his body in the line, which is creating scores for other players. But I just feel, as a confidence hurler, he needs to kind of maybe get on the ball and take his points rather than going for goals first. Get the one or two on the scoreboard for points, and then go for the goal.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Before we come to you, Paddy, I'm going to give I rarely give man of the match selections a first goal scorer because I leave it to yous, but I do think one player who's been so disappointing in 2018, there has to be a big game in him, and that is Lee Chin. So if Wexford are to win, obviously they're 5-2 to win the match, Lee Chin at 16-1 for man of the match, surely there is one big match. Cameras down in Páirc Uaibh, he'll know that he has to have a good game after his fantastic season last season. I think 16-1 Lee Chin could be a bit of value. Paddy?
Yeah, first goal scorer probably go for Peter Duggan. As Taggy said, he was kind of quiet the last day, and he was quiet in the second half against Cork as well. He'll want a bit of a performance, and he's well able to take a goal if he gets the chance. So I'd say him for first goal scorer. The other one as well, I think it could be a game for Tony Kelly to just... It should suit him down to the ground. I think a lot of it's going to be played around the middle. It's the kind of game where I can see him scoring 4 or 5 points from play and just being head and shoulders above the rest.
Yeah, lovely hurler, Tony Kelly. So there are. So what's the forfeit, lads? If Wexford win, are you just buying me pints for the night or what?
Yeah, hop houses. That's what you drink, isn't it?
Jesus, you have a great memory. Yeah, I'm a hop house man. Yeah. Are you agreeing to that, Aidan? Yeah.
No, they're not going to win, so I think you'll be buying your own.
Yeah, that's it. Like, geez, we can put down 10 pints if we want. It's not going to happen, so we're
ready. Yeah. Okay, my forfeit is pints of my waddy for you, lads, if Bear win. So moving on to Semple Stadium, 2 o'clock on Sunday. It is Kilkenny against Limerick. And before we come to Aidan to see which side of the fence he's on, he's been on that many sides of the fence with Kilkenny, we don't know where he is. But Paddy, before we come to Aidan, tell us the prices and handicaps for the second of the All-Ireland Hurling quarterfinals.
Yeah, it's strange to look at these prices and you just in isolation. If you look at the last couple of years, it was Limerick 10-11. The draw is 9-1. Kilkenny is 11-10. Limerick -1 is 11-10. The handicap draw is 10s, and Kilkenny +1 is 5-6.
And now, before we come to Judas, I just want to know why you made that statement. Why is it strange to look at the prices? Just explain to listeners why this. When you look at these prices, you say, "God, this is mad," considering what we've seen in the last couple of years.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, like the last time, I'd say the last time Limerick would have been favourites for a hurling match against Kilkenny, is you're probably going back to like 1996 or something like that. Kilkenny, just in the last couple of years, like the one thing about Limerick, actually, funny enough, going back to the years, they've always given Kilkenny a game generally, even when they'd be, you know, 5-6 point
under. Semi final, how many years ago in the lashings of rain, that was excruciating.
Yeah, completely. Even last year as well, they lost. I mean, what did they lose by 3 points last year? But like, they had the win in that game, really. Even the people probably disagree with me. It was still a 5 or 6 point loss, that 2007 All-Ireland final. But, you know, apart from the two goals in the first 10 minutes, Limerick stayed with them for that. I think they always kind of save it. Ever since probably 1973, they'll always save a game for Kilkenny. Those last All-Ireland they won. But they've never been, like, you could never in previous years have made them favourites. There was... like a known gulf of class between the two teams, but I think that's this year, it's definitely a hell of a lot closer than that.
So Limerick are slight favourites at 10-11. Aidan, Judas, Fogarty, Kilkenny obviously last weekend, we did see glimpses of brilliance from them to get back into the game, but the one point that I noticed was Brian Cody's interview after the match. It was almost a resignation in that this Galway team is just far better than us. They're the best team in the country. It's the first time I've almost seen Brian Cody almost accept that there's a team at a different operating at a different level to Kilkenny. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, no, it is fair, I think, yeah. But to be fair to Brian, like, they are the best team in the country. And when they get beaten by a team, I suppose the thing to do is to blow them up and blow them up with the chance of maybe getting another crack of them and putting them onto another level.
Oh, you think there was an ulterior motive?
Look, I think so. Look, if you think of any of the managers, like, they blow up a team and maybe they might buy into that, their own team, and lose concentration. And I suppose that's the big thing for Galway going forward, is actually to keep the heads down and keep momentum. Like, in the first Leinster final, they nearly got caught because, you know, they nearly bought into their own success. So to keep them grounded is huge. And every reporter and every paper and every media outlet is going to be blowing up Galway. And that's the important thing for them, is to keep their heads down. But Brian Cody, from my point of view, is actually praising this Kilkenny team, which I've never seen him do nearly with our own Kilkenny team. When we were winning matches, he was always playing us down and telling us that we could work on this and that and the other. But with this Kilkenny team, he seems to be kind of giving them confidence of how their spirit and how their tenacity and how aggressive they are and how to come back into matches. And he's really trying to give this Kilkenny team confidence in going forward and in playing matches, because possibly they're maybe not as good of hurlers as they were before.
So where are we with this Kilkenny team, Aidan?
Well, that's the question, David. Look, we just don't know. They still don't have their best team on paper. Look, they have the fight, they have the resilience, and they have that team spirit and that belief of actually getting back into winning games. But they're going to get caught on that eventually, I think. I think it's very important for the Limerick game on Sunday. It's very important for Kilkenny to get, first of all, a good start. You know, we're chasing our tails there in the last 3 or 4 games. We're 9 points down against Wexford. We're 5 points down against Dublin. We're 12 points down against Galway. And we always came back all right, and we won 2 of those games and lost obviously Galway. But it's going to catch up with us eventually. And I think for this week as well, for Brian to actually make plays with the team, it's very important to keep us fresh, mentally fresh. And I think to do that is to change positionally wise, and actually we'll make changes. So I think Colin Fennelly, Richie Hogan, and maybe even someone into the half back line for Kilkenny, maybe Robert Lennon, could get a start, and that will bring a freshness. And I think the last thing for Kilkenny, if we're going to beat Limerick, is to bring it to a dogfight. Do not let Limerick open up Kilkenny. We've seen what Galway can do. You've seen when Kilkenny are opened up in the back line, holes appear for goals and for points. So I think Kilkenny needs to bring it to a dogfight and get a good start to have any chance of beating Limerick on Sunday.
Couldn't agree more. This has to turn into a dogfight. I think under 48.5 points, I think, is 6-5 of Paddy Power. I don't think this is going to be as high scoring as people think. Paddy Ahern, can you make sense of this one?
Not particularly. Some of it, I don't know if Taggy knows much about the Walter Walsh situation. I would have thought that it's going to be very hard. Like, the way he went off with a groin injury, it looks to me like it's going to be very tough to see him being named or play any part. I don't know if Taggy knows anything about that, does he?
Yeah, no, he's not sure, Paddy. Apparently, he kind of pulled it in the warm-up before the game. And it wouldn't mind, but actually, saying, well, the first 15 minutes he was the only forward kind of winning ball, but he's going to be under pressure. A groin injury is not that easy. It's usually a 4-6 to week, depends how bad it is, but he's under pressure. And Killian Buckley is carrying a knock as well. He had a strap on his knee. He was kind of limping towards the end of the last game. So that's another thing. If Killian, and especially Walter Welch as well, if he's going to be out, it's going to be huge.
Yeah, like, you know, with all that in mind, and we'll say with the 6-day turnaround, like, that's Kilkenny now, and this is going to be their third week of a really, really tough game. Obviously, it's a very tough game in Croke Park. They went to the very end last week as well, and that's going to take a hell of a lot out of them. Like, if they're, whatever about Walter Walsh, like, if Killian Buckley isn't 100% fit, it's just going to be really, really difficult for them. Like, you kind of saw it as well when they kind of came through last year against Waterford. These games are just, they just tend to be very attritional. They just tend to go to the 70 minutes. Like, you really have to go kind of deep down into your reserves, which they always manage to do, and they always tend to hang into games. But, like, Limerick are going to be so much fresher for this. Everyone kind of forgets, you know, before the Clare game, the hype about Limerick was through the roof, and they were just really flat. Like, they just really, really underperformed that day. Like, everything else they've shown in Munster just showed that they're kind of a young, fit, powerful team, but they're fearless as well. Like, these guys are used to kind of beating the Kilkennys, beating the Tips the whole way up. Like, of all teams, these young fellas are going to have no fear against Kilkenny. I think everything is stacked in Limerick's favour, and I think it might be the end of the road for this Kilkenny team for this year anyway. Like Taggy has said, I mean, I'm very surprised that, like, Sir Rob Lennon haven't got more of a run. Like, I saw him play Fitzgibbon this year, and to me, if you wanted to release Padraig Walsh further out to field, I thought he mightn't be the quickest in the world, but he's definitely a huge presence at the edge of the square. There has to be something new for Kilkenny. I think he's going to have to start. Obviously, they bought in Billy Ryan. He might have to have another big game, but I think everything is stacked in Limerick's favour, to be honest.
And if these injury doubts over Killian Buckley and Walter Walsh, if they come to pass, surely this 10-11 Limerick is just going to drop rapidly. Like, listen to yous two, and using my own kind of guide of the first half of the championship and how good Limerick were, I cannot believe that Limerick are not shorter in the bet. And surely it's just tradition to have Kilkenny at such a short price. Yeah, is that fair, Paddy?
The funny thing is, like, during the week, like, I would have thought the exact same, and I thought we'd lay Limerick for this, but, like, the only thing we've laid so far really during the week, and it's not money that'd bowl you over, but the only money we've taken is on Kilkenny. That would suggest to me that somebody knows something, that the lads might be coming out of retirement.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, they could do with him. Definitely up in those forwards, they could do with him anyway. But
he wouldn't start there. He's not going to play.
Well, he's done stranger things in the past, as Cody.
Yeah, like, there's no question, if the two boys aren't named, Limerick will shorten. But the money for Kilkenny would just have me kind of, would stop me a little bit just kind of pushing toward Limerick's favourite, just in case somebody knows something that we don't.
Lovely stuff. Right, let's wrap this up then. Aidan Fogarty, You've been the main man. People are listening to you. They know you know what's going on in Kilkenny. So they are going to be, whatever you tip here now, listeners are going to be back. And who's going to win between Limerick and Kilkenny? By how much? And how is the game going to go?
Yeah, look, it's going to be a great game, I think. Everything is in Limerick's favour. And I have a good feeling that when everything is against Kilkenny, they just pull out these performances. And to be fair to Kilkenny, the only team that have beaten them is Galway in a replay. So, like, they have that resilience, they have that fight and that belief. And when it comes to championship, it really does matter in the last 10 or 15 minutes. Now, whether Kilkenny, the third week in a row, is going to catch up in them, I don't think actually in the Premier Round, if any team won their third game in a row in the Munster or Leinster Provisional Round. But whether they have it in the last 10 or 15 minutes, it's going to be a question. But I think Brian Cody is going to make changes. I think the former Brian, or Richie Hogan, Colin Fennelly, and, you know, maybe the fact that it's do or die it's going to bring on Kenny a lot. And whether Limerick are a bit of a different fight, Glenn Nash didn't really have the belief to actually take on to Kenny. So it's just going to be so tight, I think. And right off to Kenny at your third, and I've done it already, but my head probably says Limerick, but my heart says Kenny. And the fact that I think, you know, Mickey Hogan and Colin Fennel come back with it, and if they perform, I think they can just squeeze out a victory. There's a big game in Kilkenny, and if they get a good start, they haven't played for 70 minutes yet. So I'm back in Kilkenny with my heart, barely.
Good man, Aidan. 11 of 10 Kilkenny for Aidan Fogarty. Paddy Ahern?
Yeah, like, the thing is, Walter and Killian Buckley, like, the three Kilkenny's best players are TJ and the two boys. If one of the two boys are gone, it's a huge ask. If the two of them are gone, it's massively difficult. I think Limerick are the best at even money. It's hard to know without teams, but yeah, even if they played, I think it's going to be too much for Kilkenny. I think Limerick are a decent bet at evens.
Well, one of us is going to have a good weekend, and one of us is going to have a desperate weekend because they're completely against one another, but isn't that what it's all about? So your choices for first goal scorer and man of the match?
I was thinking Gerard Hegarty for the first goal scorer from Limerick. He gets in decent positions. If he has a chance of goal, he shows against Waterford he can stick it away. So I'd say he'd be a decent bet around the 12 or 14 to 1 mark. Man of the match, I think, if anyone's watched any Limerick games this year, Darragh Donovan's playing really well, but he's very kind of understated. I think he's kind of coming in under the radar, and I think if he had a good game this weekend, people would kind of take note of how important he is to Limerick. I think he could be a huge price. He could be
22 to 1.
Yeah, he could even be bigger than that, I'd say, on the day. And I think people are going to cop on to how good this guy is in a while.
That name was Darragh O'Donovan. Chalk it down. 22 to 1 for man of the match. Aidan Fogarty, your choices for man of the match and first goal scorer in Kilkenny v Limerick.
Yeah, I think Kilkenny, goal wise, they're not really shooting for goals a lot. Like the last three goals they got against Galway were probably lucky. Gerber probably took too many steps. And a break in the square for Richie Hogan. And
probably he ran a fucking marathon.
I want to say he did. I said probably. It's never said really. But probably three lucky goals for Guinness. So I'm going to go with the Limerick man for the first goal. I'm going to go with Dale Flanagan on the edge of the square. He's going to be on Pádraig Welsh, but suppose Glynn the last day did create havoc over Pádraig, a big man, and Seamus Flanagan is a big man. So I'm going to go for Seamus Flanagan.
8-1. Lovely. 8-1, Seamus Flanagan, first goal. And man of the match.
Man of the match, I am the fact that I am tipping Kilkenny barely. I'm going to go with TJ Reid. He's a common player. He's a huge player for him. And I think for Kilkenny, if they're going to win against Limerick on Sunday, I think TJ's going to have a huge game. He's on the freeze as well. So
there we go. Six to one with Paddy Power for man of the match. The maestro that is TJ Reid. So now it's time for the best bets of the weekend.
This will not be beaten.
Okay, I'm going to start off first, and I'm going to give my best bet of the weekend in the Hurling Championship, and of course it is Wexford at a very, very, very generous 5-2 to take out Clare. So Wexford to beat Clare at 5-2 for Misha. Aidan Fogarty, your best bet of the weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go a bit left field here, David. I wouldn't be like me at all. I came through the treble before, so I'm going to chance my arm in a double. I'm going to say Teej will score a goal at any time, 7-5. And I think the Wexford Clare game is going to be a tighter game than people than I expect. And I think with the sweeper system, it's going to be low scoring. So I double that with under 49.5 points at 5-6. And I think it pays out around 7-2, I believe, if I'm correct.
No, I'd say it's more than that, is it? 2.4, 7-5, 2.4. Multiply. What price is the under?
5-6
Yeah, you're right. Actually, about 7-2. So the double unders in Wexford v Clare, and TJ Reid to score a goal anytime at 7-5. That is Aidan Fogarty's best bet of the weekend. And for Paddy Ahern,
yeah, I think the longer the game goes on, like Kilkenny will obviously stay in the game and they'll battle away. But I think there's a price around there in Limerick -2. They could pull away, I'd say, we'll say in the last 5-10 minutes, just with the fitness and everything that's happened the last couple of weeks. You'll probably get around 6-4, and that's a Limerick -2 against Kilkenny.
Limerick -2 at around 6-4 for Paddy Ahern from our sponsors, Paddy Power. So that's the two All-Ireland Hurling quarterfinals looked after. Join us again in part two, where we'll be joined by Joe Sheridan to dissect the start of the Super Eights.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the GAA Postcast. I am joined by former Meath attacker Joe Sheridan and Paddy Ahern from our sponsors Paddy Power, and the Super 8s get underway on Saturday. Yes, it is the moment we've all been waiting for. I think everybody, all the critics are looking forward to the Super 8s. And kicking us off at 5 o'clock at Crow Park on Saturday, it is Tyrone v Roscommon. Paddy Ahern, can I get some prices and handicaps?
Yeah, Tyrone are 2-5. The draw is 8-1. Roscommon are 11-4. Tyrone -3 is even money. Handicap draw is 9-1. And Roscommon +3 is even money also.
Joe Sheridan, as an attacking connoisseur, I'm sure you would have loved to play in this Roscommon forward line. They just go gung-ho, shoot on sight. And for a forward like you, it would have been a dream forward line to play in.
Yeah, absolutely. And they really showed last weekend against Armagh. You know, a lot of people are looking forward to the Super 8s. And this game is going to be, I think all the games are so close and so tight to call. They're just going to be set up for perfect games. And I'm really looking forward to this game. I think Roscommon, from watching them against Armagh last weekend, they've no fear. You know, when you look at some of the scores, the kick scores from 45 metres out on the wing, coming straight through the middle. They've got such an array of different type of style of play that they can play, and I think they got their tactics so well last weekend against Armagh. They really dragged the whole Armagh full back line, left Carl Craig inside on his own, and he caused mayhem. He could have scored a couple of goals, but you know, the Armagh fence just kept fouling him. There was someone different on him every 10 minutes, and they just couldn't cope with the way they were able to play and the runners off the shoulder. They probably could have had a few more goals. I know Ender Smith got a couple of goals, but they could have had goals from all over the place. I was very impressed with Kieran Murter inside. He sort of set the tone for the whole team as well. On other days, some of the shots they took might not have been over, but at the end of the day, they took the shots, and maybe they've been practicing from them angles to try and draw against a lot of the defensive teams that they've been playing against. And I would have no fear of them going into Crow Park against Tyrone and doing the same thing at the weekend. And the only thing I would say with Roscommon, the times that Armagh did attack last weekend, they looked dangerous. You know, Andrew Murnan, he was a big handful for the full back line, and they struggled to cope with him. I don't know why he ended up drifting out the pitch halfway through the first half, and it probably took away a bit of their attacking threat. But that would be the only problem I would have with the Roscommon team at the minute, is their defence, that they are leaking. They are leaking scores at the back, but you know, I think if they can score so much up front, they're probably not as worried about that as most people.
Now, Paddy Ahern, a point that Joe made there that I want to put to you is that the scores they were kicking against Armagh, they were 45 yards out, they were from tight angles, there were kind of, you know, 50-50 shots in most cases. And they were the shots that were going wide and that they were dropping into Roy Lavelle's hands in the Connacht final. And I just wonder, with just that little bit less space against Tyrone, this idea of kicking scores on site from all angles, not working it into the D, could that approach come back to haunt them against Tyrone?
Possibly. I think the thing about the Connacht final as well is conditions weren't as pristinely perfect as they were last week, and that they're pretty much going to be this weekend again. Like, I don't think that when I'm looking at the Roscommon team here, it kind of looks to me like McStay has kind of thrown out any kind of a notion of, you know, let's bring a load of men back and let's try and keep this tight. I think he kind of realizes that he probably has one chance of winning this game, and that is to just try and turn it into as big of a shootout as he can get.
McStay, like, actually named his team for this game in February.
He just has his
15 players, and that's it.
100%. But like, for that kind of an attitude as well, I think players would kind of respect that too, because there's none of this kind of guys waiting on a Friday to see whether they're starting. Like, they all know their job from early in the week, and I favour it myself. I think it's great for kind of media outlets, and it's great for the likes of us as well. We know what we're dealing with, essentially, you know, that kind of...
And you're not going to agree with this, right? But I'm going to say it to you, and I'm only going to say it once this year. This bullshit of naming teams during the week has to stop. Why on earth can the GAA not say, right, Tyrone, Roscommon, We want squad numbers 1 to 30. They're your numbers for the whole season. We don't want to know any team until an hour before kickoff. Just like in all other sports, we don't want to know anything. Maybe you could say in rugby they name their teams. But in soccer, surely, why on earth, why would you give the opposition manager a chance to set up his team to counteract your team by naming a team 7 days, 4 days, 3 days earlier? It's bullshit. Name your team an hour before the match.
Do not. It's easier for us to price when you name your team. We know exactly
Absolutely.
What we're dealing with.
Of course it is. But I'm just saying, I think football has moved on. When this notion of naming teams came in, it was back in the day when Gaelic football was 15 on 15. People played in those exact positions, 3 in the full forward line, 3 in the half forward line, 2 in midfield. It was, that's the way football was, and that's why teams were named. It's completely changed now. So why bother naming a team if you're naming somebody at number 15 that's going to be playing as a sweeper? Like, it's just bullshit. It needs to go. Sorry. Yeah, Rant over. Back to Roscommon and Tyrone.
Makes sense from a commercial point of view as well, where you kind of have squad numbers and stuff like that if you want to go down the Premiership
group.
Of course
you do. Print jerseys, Joe Sheridan, 14. There you go.
But as you say, back to Roscommon. When you're looking at the... I'm just looking at that half-back line there. Niall Daly, Fintan Craig and Conor Devaney. Like, there's an argument that they're three forwards. You know that kind of... Tiger Rourke will probably sit in the middle and Compton is named full forward, but he'll kind of drift back. But like, there's no way that I can't see this being a pretty high scoring game. I think Gerard McKiernan kind of showed against Tyrone a couple of games ago that if you do have kind of exceptional long range shooters, which Tyrone do, or which Roscommon have like throughout the team, that you can hurt your own. And I think that's the approach the Roscommon are going to bring to it, and I think that they could have a lot of joy. Like, if you kind of notice Cathal Craig, he was playing full forward the last day, but he was coming out towards the 40-yard line a lot, picking up ball, and he was kind of dummy hand passing, dummy solo, and making space for himself, and then he's super accurate as well. So I think Roscommon have the capacity to put up a decent score against Tyrone. Like, their line is 16.5. I think they're going to go over that. Obviously, the biggest worry is going to be down at the other side if Tyrone, with all their runners, can kind of punch holes. If Roscommon can limit them to goal chances, I think they have a good chance of beating them, to be honest.
Wow. So you're predicting an upset in the first of the Super 8 matches?
Yeah, I can see it happening. Yeah, I don't think Roscommon, like as Joe kind of touched on as well, I don't think Croke Park is any kind of a daunting thing to Roscommon either. Like, I know the second game against Mayo last year was a wipeout, but in the first game they probably should have beaten Mayo last year. I don't think Croke Park's going to have any kind of an ill effect on them, and I think they have enough scoring power on the team to hurt their own.
So over to you, Joe Sheridan. Is it going to be 2 votes for Roscommon?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of this Roscommon team. Like, I'm not writing off Tyrone completely. I was just looking at stat. They've 28 wins from 32 games in the back door, which is incredible. And they're just very professional. Mickey Hart does a fantastic job. I think it will be a tight game. But Roscommon know how to play Croke Park. They love the space. And I think Roscommon could cause an upset here at the weekend. And look, Tyrone probably haven't been firing on all cylinders. They haven't played too many tough, like really good games. Like Cork would just capitulate the last day after about 45 minutes and the game was over. You know, they played Cavan. Cavan have only been okay this year, and obviously Meath. So they haven't really had a tough run of games into this game. So I think Roscommon will cause an upset at the weekend, yes.
Okay, Lokes, there's a few points here I think you're forgetting. Like, I know you can say Croatia in the World Cup, they seem to be like tireless, and it just, they don't get tired, and it's just ridiculous how much they improved in extra time and the second half of the World Cup. But this Roscommon team, like, that went right down to the wire last weekend. They were in the 27 degrees, and they were... At the end of the game, they needed to get the goal. Enda Smith got the goal. That went right down to the wire. Tyrone strolled around the second half. Cork capitulated, gave up. Surely that counts for a hell of a lot going into this weekend's match. And I just think the way Roscommon play is just... I'd say Mickey Hart is there just rubbing his palms together and saying to Kevin McStay, bring it on. Attack as much as you want. Bring the half back line forward. Bring the two midfielders forward. Lovely. We'll get Matty Donnelly, Niall Sludden, Frank Burns. We'll get them all to attack in tandem, and we will gun you down on the counter-attack. And for that reason, I fancy Tyrone -2 at 4-5 with Paddy Power. But the other two bets that I really like are over 36.5 points of 5-6 with Paddy Power. And I know I'm singing from the same hymn sheet every week, but my holy God, when Tyrone are involved, always look at the goals markets. Over 2.5 goals in the match, 11-10 with Paddy Power. I think that's a cracking bet. They got 3 last week. They could have got 6. It's just they create so many goal opportunities. I think this game has goals written all over. So over 2.5 goals, 11-10 with Paddy Power. So moving on to man of the match and first goal scorer. Joe, we'll come to you first. What's your selections?
Yeah, I'm pushing towards Roscommon here, obviously. But first goal, I think Cathal Craig. If I know Tyrone aren't going to be as naive as Armagh and leave so much space inside for him. So I can see Cathal Craig, if he gets inside on his own, he's a great chance. I think it's a 10-1 or something like that. And my man of the match is going to be Enda Smith. He got 2-1 last weekend. I know it took him a while to get warmed up into the game, but he loves the space at Croke Park. He's a leader of the team. And if Roscommon do well, Enda Smith will be the driving force behind that. And I can see him at 12-1 for man of the match.
Okay, we like a bit of that. 12-1. Paddy Hearn, your selections for man of the match and first goal scorer.
Yeah, Enda Smith was brilliant last week. You'd have a slight worry that Tyrone are really going to target him this week, but he's a quality footballer. First goal scorer, Cathal Craig as well. I think he's operating at a huge level this year. He scored, come on, in Croke Park against Cavan in that League 2 final, Division 2 final, scored 2 goals, and he's definitely an eye for goals. So he was my bet as well at 10-1. And man of the match, I think Conor Devaney is massive to Roscommon as well. I think he's going to get forward quite a bit. He's going to have to kind of be involved in the play a lot, I think, if Roscommon were going to have any joy. And he was my man of the match selection.
Okay, and I'm going to go for Matty Donnelly for first goal scorer. I think he is 14-1 with Paddy Power. Am I right? Matty Donnelly. Yeah, 14-1 first goal scorer with Paddy Power. And sure, I can't desert my other half. We have to stay loyal. Back in Croke Park, 9-1, Niall Sludden for man of the match.
He's been knocking on the door now big time. He should have got one already this year. So yeah,
don't be talking. It's just excruciating to watch. Like, it's just
every might get time one you after think 10 he's going to get it. Yeah.
It'll be a case of not even getting my money back when he does get it. Niall Sludden, who I think the way Roscommon play will suit Niall Sludden, so we'll go for him for man of the match at 9-1. So moving on to 7 o'clock, Croke Park on Saturday evening. It is the game that most GA pundits and followers have been really looking forward to. It's the All-Ireland champions Dublin taking on Ulster champions Donegal. And Paddy Power, just how short, Paddy Hearn, sorry, from our sponsors, Paddy Power, just how short are Dublin?
Dublin are 1-7, the draw is 14-1, and Donegal are 11-2. Dublin -7, 11-10, handicap draw 11-1, and Donegal +7 is 5-6.
Just has been the case in almost every Dublin match this year, I think you have got the handicap spot on.
Thanks very much, that's a huge compliment.
Because I say to myself, surely Dublin win by more than 7, and then the next minute I'm kind of going, geez, Donegal might stick within that. So I can't, that makes me think that yous have got it right. Which side of it would you be on?
Yeah, it's a tricky one, like, because we were a bigger handicap, and then, you know, on a random Tuesday it came out that Paddy McBearty is out for the year. So it's, like, it was kind of hard to put a number on what he was worth to Donegal, but... Yeah, it's a hard one to make head or tail of, but I would probably just say maybe Dublin on the minus. Like, I kind of have a little bit of a suspicion with this Donegal team that they're being overhyped way too early. They've come through they've looked very impressive in Ulster, and that's fair enough, but, you know, like, they got a late goal against Derry to kind of put gloss on that scoreline. They've beaten Cavan, who've gone out and, you know, they haven't really didn't do much since, and their manager walked away. And then they beat Fermanagh, who proved last weekend that the Monaghan game was pretty much a complete fluke. Well, Donegal did a lot during the league, and it's hard to look into the league even when you're talking about games at this point of view, but Donegal in the league for 15-20 minutes of matches looked like they were world beaters. And that included the game in Croke Park as well. Like, they looked like, oh wow, these guys are All-Ireland contenders, these guys are unreal. And then if you look at the Dublin game, if you look at the Mayo game, and if you looked at a hell of a lot of their league games, that they came out with no points out of it. I would just have a little bit of a sneaking suspicion that when Donegal play the better teams, that they're going to be found out a little bit. They're very attacking. They have kind of scores and they have runners and they've youth kind of all over the pitch. But I think that defensively they might be a little bit exposed when they play the better teams.
Yeah, I'd certainly agree. Joe, what way do you see this one going?
Yeah, I'd be looking at the Donegal plus +7. It's just the type of the game it is. Like if it was an All Ireland final, I'd be looking the other side. But the fact that it's the first game of a Super 8, Dublin can beat most teams probably in third or fourth gear, whereas Donegal will be really up for it. It's a game that they have to throw everything at to try and get a good start in the Super 8. You know, Dublin probably won't be as sort of, you know, under pressure, as much under pressure as Donegal to win the game. So it usually take, you know, they could win a game, like even against Leash, they could have had 5 or 6 goals, they got 125, but they still won the game easily. You know, they could have won by another 15 points if they wanted. So it's just, I think Donegal will keep it tight. I think there'll be a lot of goals in the game. I think for Dublin, I haven't been as impressed this year as I have in the last couple of years with them. I'm a massive fan of the way Dublin play football and how they actually just keep going and keep going. But I just don't think they have the same talent as they've had over the last couple of years. And I think their full back line, I don't know how they've got away with it for so long. You know, even the last day against Leash, like the only King thing would cause them a lot of trouble and probably could have had a couple more goals. And if you've Michael Murphy inside and they're playing the right ball into him with Jamie Brennan in around him, I think that they can cause a lot of problems. And I think a great bet for this game is both teams to get a goal of 5 to 6. I think there could be a lot of goals in the game, and Dublin will probably get a couple of goals as well. And but I do feel Donegal will really put it up to them because of the pressure that they're going to be under throughout the Super 8s, whereas Dublin, I think, you know, they know they're going to probably get to a semi-final. So I'd be looking at Donegal plus +7 here.
Donegal plus +7 and both teams to score a goal for Joe Sheridan. Now, I'm going to get my vote in here for man of the match first, because I think Paddy Power are way, 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 possibly 3 to 4 points too big on Kieran Kilkenny to be man of the match. It's boring, it's obvious, but 13-2, Kieran Kilkenny to get man of the match. There's no longer the dropping deep, there's no longer keeping possession at all costs. He is now Jim Gavin's most prized possession up front. He's got 215 in 3 games in Leinster. He scored an average of 7 points a game. He's the best player in the country right now, and he is 13-2 with Paddy Power to get man of the match. I think that is a cracking bet. Paddy Hearn, am I right?
Yeah, he wouldn't be far off. He's playing, himself and Fenton are the front runners for Footballer of the Year, and you know they are going to be kind of close up to favouritism. The only thing, there is a lot of kind of competition around the top end of that market with Fenton, with Rock, with like the one I was gonna pick was Conor Callaghan, just because he has been so quiet up until this year that he would nearly be at the stage, I'd say, as looking over his shoulder. So I'd imagine he's going to be gung ho to have a really good performance this week. I was kind of thinking 9-1 on him as probably might be slightly under the radar. He was going to be my pick for first goal. Joe Sheridan kind of just mentioned there Jamie Brennan. I'm a huge fan of this guy. I think he's an exceptional footballer. He's, for my liking, because I've backed him in all kinds of anti-post top goal scorer markets, and he seems to do that Donegal thing of hand passing into Ryan McHugh to palm it in from 6 yards. I just want him to go for his own score because he's good enough. And I'd like him to get a few more goals on the board. But he actually nearly scored in that league game as well in Croke Park. I think he's a good finisher as well. So I think he's around 9-1 for first goal. And I think Donegal are going to score goals. Like when you look at Donegal, I think the over 1.5 goals, 9-4 Donegal, is worth a decent bet as well. They mightn't be able to keep it down at the other end, but one thing they have is a goal scoring threat. So I wouldn't put anyone off that either.
Yeah, I think this game has goals on as well. I thought over 1.5 Dublin goals at around even money or 10-11 was a good bet as well. Joe, you certainly wouldn't have been like Jamie Brennan hand passing it across to Stephen Bray to tap in. You would have been going for your own goal. Who do you fancy for first goal scorer and man of the match?
I'm a team player, so whatever gets the easiest goal, that's what I'm all about.
Yeah, team
so
Joe Sheridan.
I like the look of Kieran Kilkenny. When I seen 13-2, I was like, this is a massive price.
Yeah, huge.
The only thing I would say is they expect him to get man of the match the whole time with the media. So sometimes they spread it around. Oh, well, if there's someone anywhere near him, they'll give it to them, because Kieran Kilkenny is probably getting man of the match every second game, and that they it's just for the media side of things. They probably don't always give it to him when he deserves it.
Did you find that yourself when you were playing, Joe, that they just didn't give it to you?
Oh, sure, I didn't get enough. Yeah. That was the problem. Yeah. And it was just, it's just shocking. But look, you have to just get on with it and move on. And I think Paul Mannion, we've been shouting about for first goal scorer all year, and he just hasn't done it for us. He's always got a goal, maybe second goal, third goal. But I can see Paul Mannion, 9-1 is a great bet for first goal scorer.
Yeah, stealing one of mine there. That's my usual first goal scorer tip, and I agree. I think Paul Mannion for first goal scorer, but don't forget Kieran Kilkenny, 13-2 for man of the match. I think this is one of these that could be, for the rest of the Super 8s, possibly All-Ireland semi-final and final, you could be looking at 9-2 or 4-1 Kieran Kilkenny for man of the match. So avail of that 13-2. That is the advice. So moving on to Sunday, and the first of the double header is Kildare v Monaghan, 2:00, live on Sky Sports. Paddy Hearn, some price and handicaps.
Monaghan are 4-6, draws 8-1, Kildare 13-8, Monaghan -1, 10-11, handicap draws 8-1, and Kildare +1 is 11-10.
Okay, Monaghan are my team to take on in the Super 8s. I think they'll be found out. I think they're an aging side that are completely going to be found out in this series that has run off so quick, and I think Kildare have all the momentum, and I fancy Kildare. Am I right, Joe?
Yeah, big time, and the big word is momentum. You know, they've had a couple of good wins. The Mayo game and the way they stood up and stuck to their principle has really, really helped them out. The last day against Fermanagh, I would be slightly worried about what they conceded against Fermanagh. They conceded like 18 points against Fermanagh, which probably isn't good enough against the top teams. You know, if you let Fermanagh score 18 points on you, you know, you'd probably concede a lot more against the top teams in this Super 8. That's the only thing. But up front, they're moving very well. Hope a lot of people got onto my bet with Daniel Flynn last week. First goal scorer is easy money, and I'd expect him to do the same again. He's just a serious handful himself, and Neil Finn up front. They play very well together, and I would just be very wary of the defence. That's the only thing. Monaghan, they probably haven't got up to the levels that they're expecting, even in the qualifier rounds. They haven't played that well. Their main players aren't really standing up at the minute. McManus, same thing again. Like, he's struggling to get form from open play. He's scoring his frees, and he always will, but he's struggling to get, and as we spoke about last weekend, Jack McCarron, I don't know how he's actually staying in the starting lineup, because he's expecting so much more. I do like the look of Kildare here. You know, I do think the only thing with it, the game being in Croke Park, like, Kildare have this thing. I think they've only won once since the new Croke Park was open in Croke Park, and that's why they don't like playing there. You know, so maybe that could get into their heads. They don't have the form in Croke Park, whereas Monaghan love playing in Croke Park. They've won a lot of big games. They've put it up to Dublin a lot of times in Croke Park. And that's the only thing that could sway me for the Monaghan side. But regarding form at the minute, Kildare, the form team coming into this game, and I can see them winning at the weekend.
So Kildare v Monaghan, who does the vote on the Ahern jury go to?
Yeah, Joe touched it there. Like, where I came down on this one was favouring Monaghan, just because if you actually look at Kildare's record in Croke Park for the last number of years, it's nothing short of absolutely deplorable. I think 2013 was the last game, the championship match they won in Croke Park. It's not like they don't play there. I think they beat Offaly that year. And like, when you think of some of the shockers down to the years, like losing to Westmeath and conceding, letting Kerry put 7 goals past you and all that kind of stuff. Like, I actually didn't realise how bad it was until I looked into it.
Different team now, though, Paddy.
Yeah, they probably are. Well, they're a different team that lost to Carlow 6 weeks ago. Do you know, if you kind of tear apart their form, the Newbridge effort was colossal. Like, that was absolutely massive. But there was kind of different circumstances that went into that as well. Like there was a massive spirit there, fair enough. You kind of go into Fermanagh, and then you look back at Fermanagh and you take out, like, they had good early form or whatever, but they're so limited. They're so kind of one-dimensional. Like, as soon as Fermanagh got beaten in that Ulster final, there's an argument that that was it, that they kind of down tools for the year. So they've gone and beat them. Like, take the Mayo game out of it, it's hard to know where the Kildare form is really coming out of, if you get me. Like,
is that not like saying, you know, take out Cottle Star's Gold Cup? Like, it's the best piece of form.
Yeah, but like, Cottle Star went and won, what, three or four Gold Cups and how many King Georges. Like he's a hate performer in the book.
Okay, bad example, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But I just think, like, when it gets back to proper kind of Super 8 level, that Monaghan are so further down in their development. Like,
are they so far down in their development that they're actually on the way back down again? Like, these players have been through the mill, Paddy.
Yeah, they have, yeah, but like, and I actually don't disagree with you too much in the whole kind of Super 8 context of, you know, eventually they are going to kind of run out of legs, but they're not going to have run out of legs for this game when they're, you know, they're beating Laois and then they're beating Leitrim, and who else to beat? Waterford. Do you know, like they're less than training sessions for them. Like, they're going off kind of minus 11, minus 12 point handicaps, so they've had a really lovely kind of a run into this. Like, they'll put up a decent score. I mean, as Joe said as well, Fermanagh can put up 18 points against Kildare. God knows what Monaghan are going to be able to put up when they're kind of playing a little bit more of an attacking team with kind of three scorers in there with Conor McCarthy, with McManus and Jack McCarron. Like, we said, he's been a bit disappointing, but like, there is a day where he could take fire. Ryan McInnesby can tag on a few points, and Carroll O'Connell, whether he plays wing back or wing forward, he's still good for three or two points as well. Like I just think I can see where people are coming from with the momentum in Kildare and like everything that is behind them. They do have good players. I just think Monaghan are better than them.
Okay, so you fancy Monaghan. Are you going to back them to beat the handicap?
Yeah, I think they could win by more than two. It's obviously Kildare are going to come. They should come with a performance, but yeah, I would fancy Monaghan to beat it.
And your selection for first goal scorer, man of the match?
First goal scorer, having said that, probably Daniel Flynn is probably the biggest threat on the pitch. If he stays close to goal, he is like he's well able to win a ball. And I think the 7-1 kind of last week, when you've seen the last couple of weeks, he is going to get chances, and that's worth backing. For man of the match, I think Carroll O'Connell is a really, really good bet. I think McManus is obviously their main player, but this guy is nearly up the top of the list when you've looked back in the last couple of years as well. He's one of the fittest players in the country. I think he's up and down everywhere. He's able to take a score. He's able to create chances. I think he's a smashing footballer. I think if you can get kind of from 16-20-1, I think he's definitely a bet.
Okay, so Carroll O'Connell for man of the match for Paddy O'Hearn, 20-1 with Paddy Power. Joe Sheridan, your first goal scorer, man of the match.
Yeah, I'm sticking with my trusted Daniel Flynn. I expect him to get the first goal, and you know, if they can get that right ball, that launch ball, and I think Drew Wright, he's struggling a wee bit. He's struggling against Donny Kingston, so I think Daniel Flynn will be a different proposition again. So 6-1. I'm torn between who. Like, I think Monaghan are probably going to end up slightly winning the game. I think Kildare will come out and have a great first half. So I'm looking at Kildare half time at 6-4. I think it's a great bet because they don't get a good start. I don't think they'll win the game at all or be anywhere near it. So I think Fermanagh will win the game.
I hope Fermanagh don't win it anyway.
Sorry, Monaghan will win the game. Colin Walsh, I'm looking at 22-1 for man of the match at centre back. I think he's very steady. He sort of runs that defence, and I don't think it's going to be a forwards game. I think it's going to be more of a defensive game, and it's going to be the tightest game of the Super 8s. And Colin Walsh, he can control the game, come through the middle as well a few times, and 22-1, I can see him at for man of the match.
Lovely stuff. So moving on to 4 o'clock on Sunday, it is Munster champions Kerry taking on Connacht champions Galway. And Paddy O'Hearn, I want some pricing handicaps off you, and I want you to tell listeners what you told me off air, the team to get on now.
Kerry are 4-11, the draw is 8-1, Galway are 3-1, Kerry minus 3 is 10-11, the handicap draw is 9-1, and Galway plus 3 is 11-10.
Begin.
I think Galway have a massive chance in this game. Like I was kind of saying off air, all the money we've seen for is in the last couple of weeks. Like, we had this game up since Kerry annihilated Cork, and all we've seen is money for Kerry, but I think Galway have an absolutely massive chance. Why? I think the glass has massively been taken off that Kerry performance. So everyone was kind of, you know, like, they went out and they hammered Cork. Fair play to you. Like, Cork have proved in what utter disarray they were last week. I mean, they didn't do a whole lot more than Tyrone did. And I think you're not...
Whoa. Didn't they just absolutely annihilate Clare, who should have beaten your beloved Armagh?
they should have beaten their beloved Armagh, but still, I mean, I backed Clare that day and they still kind of finished badly enough. And I think, like, when you're looking at Munster Championship games as well, I mean, like, Clare wouldn't go off the same handicaps to teams that are going off 4 or 5 points against Kerry. Like, there still are always going to be kind of 9 or 10, because in that kind of tradition thing, like, the jersey has been beaten before they even go out. Like, that was a good performance, fair enough, against Clare, but I'd be kind of more looking at their defensive setup throughout the league. And obviously Kerry don't take the league that seriously, but like, they looked as open as a book. They looked as open as a book in the first 10 minutes against Cork as well, where like Rory Dean is able to kind of drift in and hand pass two goals in the first 10 minutes. Like, I mean, Galway are going to have tons of players who are going to be able to do that. They're going to be kind of coming from deep. I'm not too sure about Kerry's defensive system as to where it is. Like, we're going to know a hell of a lot more about both teams, obviously, on Sunday night. And that's going to be the biggest question for most people back in Kerry. Like, they have an unbelievably looking forward line, and it does look like it can cause massive damage to a lot of teams. But Galway are extremely well set up. I have one stat for you for Galway this year. We have priced them up in 11 games since the start of the league, and they have covered 11 handicaps that we've put up. So that was 4 minuses. Great and 7 stat. 7 pluses, which is obviously, you know, in Division 1, we're not too sure where they're at and stuff like that. And they're going away to good teams as well. Like, they're a massively, massively improved team than last year. They've added players like defensive kind of... They've added defensive structure in a sense, with Sean and Andy O'Kelly. Owen Curran, I've been saying it for ages, is probably... He's one of the best man markers in the country. He's the fellow who always keeps Killian O'Connor quiet whenever they play Mayo. He's... Like, the one problem with that is who is he actually going to pick up when they play Kerry, because Kerry have so many kind of options.
Pick up Geaney, surely.
He probably will pick up Geaney. Sean Andrew Kelly pick up Geaney as well, because Geaney will probably play more as kind of a full forward. I actually think he'll probably pick up O'Donoghue, and then Kine is kind of stuck with David Clifford. But like, I saw somebody suggesting, there was a pundit suggested that the Galway's full back line was the worst line on the field. And I think that's completely way off the mark. Like, if you looked at their... Again, it's crap weather and all that kind of stuff, but look at their league and how many goals they conceded. They conceded 2 goals against Roscommon. One, because Barry McHugh got kind of caught one-on-one with Kieran Murta, who just completely burned him, and he shouldn't have been in that position to start with. But all these guys are good defenders. All these guys are good man-markers. I just think there's enough there... to show me that Galway have a proper chance of beating Kerry. Like, they missed about 5 or 6 goal chances in Crow Park last year, and at the end of the day they got bet out the gate. I think they've a lot more composure. I think they've kind of better forwards as well, with the way that Brannigan was playing earlier on the year, the way that Ian Burke is playing, and Comer is going to be vital to it. If they can get one-on-ones with Comer, I don't think Kerry have anyone to mark him, so I think Galway have a massive chance.
So from one big Galway fan to an even bigger Galway fan, over to you, Joe Sheridan, to continue this Galway loving.
Yeah, it's I've been looking forward to this game ever since it was set up. It's really going to show Galway where they are at, and sort of all the hype and talk about them over the last sort of 12 months, 18 months. Are they really that good? And it's really interesting. Like, I think Galway, obviously the defensive setup is incredible. You know, they will defend well. They're probably not going to give away as many scores as most teams would against Kerry's forward line, because they're so well versed in the defensive setup. But saying that, when you look at the Kerry forward line, it's scary. You know, and James O'Donoghue hasn't really got going yet. When he gets going on top of Geaney's like scored 212 in the last two games, when we're talking about Kilkenny. Scoring 215 in the last 3 games. Like, Geaney is just a goal machine. He's very hard to mark, and there's been no real talk of him either. That's the funny thing. Everyone's talking about the rest of the players, the likes of Sean O'Shea, Clifford, the new lads coming into the team. But Geaney is an absolute handful. And I think the full back line for Galway will struggle to mark him. It's just whether the ball will be able to get into him with the way that the Galway half back line and half forwards sit on that 45 and really put the pressure on the forwards side for Kerry. You know, when you, like, I think it's going to be a shootout between two players, to be honest, with Geaney and Comer. Like, if Comer can get space up front against Kerry, you know, that, as we spoke about, Kerry's whole back line is very weak. The defence, that they're leaking a lot of goals, and Comer could have a great day on Sunday. I don't know if Galway will win the game. I do expect them to cover the handicap at +3. I just think Kerry might... That is the psychological edge, especially after last year in the quarterfinal. It was a bad defeat against Kerry, but I know Galway will have improved a lot since then and have beaten their drum all year. But I just think this game, I think Kerry will be primed for it. And I just really can't wait to watch the game. And I'd be looking at Galway +3, and I'd be hoping Galway can do it, because I really do. I'd love to see them push on and to prove how good they've become and the type of team that they've been. I just hope they're not as defensive and maybe push on to try and get as many scores as they can against Kerry, because I think there's a lot of scores to be got against Kerry, especially in Croke Park and the space that would be given for the forward line.
Okay, I've no doubt that I'll be made eat these words, but I think Galway are the most overrated team in Ireland. I think Kerry will beat them, and beat them convincingly. I think Kerry should be back -3 Murphy to get man the match at 12-1, and I think you should back James O'Donoghue to get the first goal at 8-1. Paddy Hearn, your man of the match and first goal scorer selections.
From a price point of view, I think Stephen O'Brien is probably too big for the first goal. I think people kind of tend to concentrate on the three inside line, the inside guys, where this guy is, as soon as he has a sniff of goal, he just puts his head down and he goes for it. And he's a very good finisher as well. So I think you probably back around 12 or 14 to him.
14-1, Paddy Barry, yep.
Yeah, he's worth backing.
Man of the match,
like if Galway are to have any chance, and it does seem like a game that is going to suit him the way the Kerry play, I think Comer's massive. He's gonna have to really light it up if Galway are going to have a chance. I think if they come close to winning, he'll be clear candidate for man the match. So I'd say if whatever he is around 8-1 is probably worth backing.
Okay, so Damien Comer man of the match at 8-1 for Paddy Hearn. Joe Sheridan, first goal scorer, man of the match.
Yeah, for man of the match, I'm gonna go for Sean O'Shea at centre forward. I think the space in Croke Park is just really going to suit him. I don't think the Galway half back line, that they'll probably end up putting two or three lads on him. So I think him at 12-1 for man the match. But first goal, so I'm going to go to score a goal anytime. Geaney and Comer, I think they're 7-2 and 4-1. I think them two boys will get a goal, and I think that's a great bet for either of them to score a goal at 7-2 and 4-1.
Lovely stuff. Now it's time for the best bets of this first Super 8 weekend.
This will not be beaten.
Joe Sheridan, tell listeners the one bet that they have to do this weekend.
Well, I've been telling them a few weeks now, and they've been coming good. So my nap came in last week in the 14s. I went with my fellow mead man, Colin O'Rourke. So this weekend, I am going to go with Roscommon to beat Tyrone at 11-4. A massive price. And a team that are on the up and coming, and I think they have a great chance. So I'm really looking forward to it, and I'd be putting a lot of punters on to Roscommon at 11-4.
Okay, so Roscommon to beat Tyrone for Joe Sheridan. Paddy Hearn, your best bet of the weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it simple enough. I think that there's going to be goals in that Tyrone-Roscommon game, so both teams to score a goal in Tyrone-Roscommon is around the 10-11 even money mark.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think I can't. Every time this Tyrone team plays, you just have to get on the goals markets. So my selection is going to be very simple. Kildare to be an aging Monaghan team at 13-8. So there you go. My thanks to Aidan Taggy Fogarty, who joined us part one to talk about all the hurling action this weekend. My thanks to Joe Sheridan, who was with us to talk about the first round of the Super 8s. And my thanks to Paddy O'Hearn from our sponsors, Paddy Power, who was with us the whole way through. If you enjoyed these shows, make sure you rate, review and subscribe on YouTube, SoundCloud, iTunes or any other platform you listen to us on. I've been David Jennings for the Racing Post. Enjoy all the weekend action.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.